Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. First is, I don't know if people have asked about the Daystar, the Joni table talk. It's now recorded and it's back there on the glass table. Both Daystar events are back there. So if you want to get one, feel free to take one. All right, this week Thurman had an email from Dr. Morris Cirillo's office, and they've invited him to come pray at a meeting. It's for Dallas and it's for America. It's Thursday, August the 4th at 7 p.m. at the DFW Marriott. And I don't know what time he's praying or anything like that. They did say they would, however many from the church want to come, they'll save a space for us. So if you think you want to come, you need to tell me so I can tell them, you know, head count. And Dr. Cirillo has been given 10 impartations for America. So he's going to share that, and I guess he's going to have various pastors praying, and Pastor Thurman Scrivener is going to be one of them. So anyway, praise the Lord. So that's Thursday, April the 4th at 7 p.m. at DFW Marriott.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, if there was ever a time in history when we need all of us, it's now, isn't it? We definitely need everybody. We need everybody praying. Something I want to tell you that, you know, if you're not praying, you're not seeing anything. You're not doing anything for Jesus. You know, he answers prayer. If you don't pray, he won't do anything. And I really have no idea the magnificence of what the King is really doing, but I do know that one thing he's done in our life that's almost brand new. I've never done this before, never even dreamed about doing this before, but after we were on the Daystar the last time, or maybe the last couple of times, I don't know, we've had people contact us via email from all over the world. I mean, we've had emails from everywhere. So you can't communicate with a person, you know, so except email. You think, well, how could God possibly answer a prayer by email? So anyway, we just started when people would contact us, say, I saw you on Daystar, and, you know, or the Sid Roth show or whatever. Yeah, YouTube, they've seen us everywhere. They say, we want you to pray. Obviously, you're a man that gets your prayer answered, because it was somebody, the other day, somebody gave them a CD, God's Power, and they was driving home, and of course, it's an hour and a half long, and they drove home listening to God's Power, and they said, when I got home, I sat there with the air conditioner running in the car, I could no wise turn that car off until I heard the rest of that CD. There's no way I could turn this thing off. I said, I've never heard anybody that talk like you do about the kingdom of God. But let me tell you, the kingdom of God works. Yes. It works if you pray, and if you pray in faith. So what Cheryl and I started doing with all these people that started contacting us, I have this problem. My mother or my daddy or my brother or my sister, I mean, it's my child. Well, we always write back with them before we pray for them and say, well, you know, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And then have you got all of your sins confessed because you're sick because you've got a sin in your life? They never heard that. In their whole life, they never heard that sin brings sickness. And so when they can, they say, well, I didn't know that, but yes, I've done this or that or whatever. Or sometimes just from the information they'll give us, we'll talk a few minutes. We'll write back with them. And it's amazing the answers that you get. And sometimes the people just, they don't know anything. You know, they just come by us by accident. No, there's no such thing as an accident, is there? God is sending them by to read or to see what we are doing. And then, so Cheryl and I, if they're conscious and they can communicate or somebody else is communicating for them, we'll say, you know, repent of your sins, and then we'll stand on a scripture and we'll pray for you. And especially with children, you know, when people see you're getting children healed, they contact you and say, my son is dying or my daughter's dying or whatever, they're comatose, have been in a car wreck or whatever. And you say, well, we need to confess sin or we need to pray the prayer of faith. We need to do something. And they'll sometimes they write back and say, you don't understand. This person, my mother, has this disease. She had a stroke, and she can't open her eyes. She can't eat by herself. She can't talk. She can't do anything. So she can't confess her sin. So I said, I started telling Cheryl when we started getting these kind of things. I said, well, if there was ever a time to put John... Anybody know where it's at?
2023.
All right, let's put that John 20:23 on the board. Let's see. I mean, this scripture, when I started teaching this scripture, I caught more flack over this scripture from everybody than any verse I've ever taught in my life. But look at what this verse says. What does that say? Whoever
sin
that you
remit.
In other words, if you forgive them, they're forgiven. That's too simple. He can't possibly mean that. And people come back and say, Thurman, how dare you think you have the power to forgive sin? I said, well, does the word say I have power to forgive sin? Now then, why I reckon do I have the power to forgive sin? Who lives in me?
Jesus.
Now, so can Jesus forgive sin?
Yeah.
In other words, let's put it this way. When I look at you or you look at me, who am I looking at?
Jesus.
Paula, who am I looking at when I look at you?
Jesus.
When I look at your husband, who am I looking at?
Jesus.
Isn't that something? Jesus. Who would ever dream that we could forgive sin? So Cheryl and I have started, when they can't talk or nothing and we can't, you know, if they can't even get the information we need from them, then this is why we pray, John, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to John 14:23, we forgive their sins. Oh, excuse me, John 20:23. We forgive their sins. Now, if you forgive their sins, according to that scripture, are their sins forgiven?
Yes.
Okay, now then you might try doing this. Lord, I use that same verse on me. Lord, forgive my sins. Because you reckon you might have slipped up somewhere since yesterday or last week and might have had a little sin in there somewhere. It's pretty easy to sin, isn't it?
Yes.
And we don't want no sins. We don't want, when that court case is going on in heaven, we don't want God the Father sitting on his throne with Jesus sitting there at his right hand and the devil standing over here. And the devil stands and say, huh, God? Your stupid son, Thurman, he just did this sin last week. He has not repented, so I have legal right to condemn him of sin. And the Father, he has to agree. But he tells us when the adversary is carrying us to court, he said, agree with him quickly. Because he really, you know, he's not going to stand there and accuse and say Thurman sinned if Thurman didn't sin. But if Thurman or any one of the rest of you sin, I guarantee when you start to pray, that devil stands up and says, oh, you can't answer his prayer. You said in your word you would not hear the prayer of a sinner. Can you imagine the devil doing that to God and Jesus? Oh, yeah, sure. He's a good adversary. He's real good at what he does. But when the Holy Spirit is working down here, and all of a sudden whenever Thurman happens to get his act together, and he starts paying attention, he's listening, he's hearing the Holy Spirit say, you know, you sinned last week. You have never asked forgiveness for that sin. So then I say, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am so sorry that I did that. Lord, I did do that. I ask you to forgive me. I remit my own sins. I ask you now to wash me in the blood of Jesus and clean me up. So Jesus stands up in the court case and says, Father, did you just hear what my brother Thurman just said? He said he's confessing his sin. Now that he's confessed that sin, I died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the price for that sin. Now that he's repented, it's done. It's over. The Father takes that big hammer and says, case closed. Now then the devil has no legal right, does he? Okay, now then, once you've remitted their sins and your sins, and you asked for all of you to be washed in the blood, and the case has been closed, it's done. You got rid of all your sins, you got rid of their sins, her sins, his sins, whatever. And when you do that, then you say, Lord, now you told us in your word that in Matthew 18:19, I think that's one of Kim's favorite verses. What does Matthew 18:19 say, Kim?
Two or more are gathered in name, I can do anything.
Now, Kim, it couldn't be that simple.
Oh, it is.
I mean, can you imagine a God that would write in a book in Matthew 18:19? In fact, put it up there. Matthew 18:19, that if two of us agree, where have we got to be?
On earth.
If two of us, and all we need is two or three, right?
That's right.
And we're on earth, if we agree about what?
Anything.
So if this woman has just had a stroke, and she can't talk, she can't do nothing, and Cheryl and me have gone to the throne room of God, we have asked the Lord to forgive her, we've remitted her sins, we've remitted our sins, we've asked to be washed in the blood, we've covered all this stuff. Now we go in and get Matthew 18:19, that says if just two of us, now there's two of us at that point. Usually we do this sitting in her office, or sometimes we do this even after we go to bed. So, but a lot of times we do it in her office because her big computer, she can type a whole lot faster on the big one than she can on that little iPad or iPod or whatever you call that thing. But anyway, whenever we pray, then if the scripture says in James 1:6-7, if the scripture says when you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. See, now that's where the devil, he'll stand right up. When we pray, and we pray and we say, somebody might even ask you, now do you really think that your prayer is answered? And this is the way so many people will do it. I sure hope so. The devil immediately stands up and said, he just sinned? You said in your word. Now you think the devil don't know the word, Paula? Oh, he knows the word. He stands up and says, God, you said in your word that when they pray, they must believe with no doubt in their heart. And Thurman's not fooling nobody. You see that unbelief in his heart? He's not believing you're going to heal that woman. Well, the Lord says, you're right. He's not believing. So, case closed. You don't win. You don't get nothing. Is that what he said? If you don't believe when you pray, you're double-minded and unstable in all your ways, and let that man think he shall receive nothing from the Lord. So you don't get your prayer answered. But if you've done everything according to his word, you've prayed according to his word, you've remitted sins according to his word, you've asked to be washed in the blood, and then when you pray, like this one woman I'm fixing to tell you, this one woman's mother had a stroke and she couldn't talk, she couldn't do nothing. We used all these same scriptures that we're just talking about for this woman. And then we prayed for this woman. And then when we would pray, Cheryl said, now then, we stand on Matthew 18:19 or whatever, and we stand on in our covenant. Then Cheryl will say, what do you want me to put? I say, put, we have prayed, it is done. I guarantee it. Now then the devil's there saying, foiled again. I'm going to have to send a herd of demons down there to mess Thurman up some way. He's getting where he knows the scripture too well. Because see, he's do everything he can, won't he?
That's right.
And so then a couple of days later, we get an email back from this girl, and she says, I want to thank God and praise him for your ministry. She said, my mother, which had no hope, couldn't talk, couldn't do nothing, she's now been released from the hospital. She's gone home. She's just doing good. She's talking, eating, and everything. Said, thank God for the Living Savior Ministries. I mean, now wait a minute now, folks. When you have a problem, you have so many miracles and so many healings, you can't even remember them all. That's a Mike, is that a good problem to have? Okay, I'll let Cheryl tell this one.
Well, I read it to you, but that's all right,
okay, honey.
It was a son wrote that he wanted us to, and he wrote. We don't know where he was. And so we write back that we agree in prayer with him that she had a, what do you call it, a pressure wound, 6x4 inches. It was a huge pressure wound. I mean, that's pretty big. She had quit feeding herself. She was so sick. And so they had put her into like some kind of an assisted living somewhere that somebody could help her. And so we prayed for her. One doctor met him in the hall and told him that that wound would never heal. Oh, he cursed.
But that doctor don't know Jesus.
That's right. Anyway, he wrote this week, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. He said, the wound completely closed. She's feeding herself and she's been released and she's back home.
Now, folks, I think every one of us ought to be doing something like that. I mean, if God will hear mine and Cheryl's prayer. I mean, you know, is that right, Miss Jackie? I mean, me and Cheryl, just two human beings, just like Isaiah. Elijah and Isaiah. Whenever he prayed in faith with nothing wavering, and it didn't rain on the earth for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the earth gave rain. And now it says a man of like passions as he was, just like you and me. He has all the same desires and everything to eat and drink and sleep and everything else and need rest. There's not any difference between him and us, is there? But he prayed. And when he prayed and prayed according to the word of God, God showed up and done great things. I mean, just think, if you can pray and it don't rain for 3.5 years, wow. But I stop and think of the number of miracles and healings. In fact, the other day somebody was telling me how great that CD is that we made about God's power. And I said, well, I haven't listened to that in a long time. I think I'll listen to it. And so I put it in my truck and started everywhere I'd go, I'd turn that on. After I listened to that hour and a half teaching on God's power, you know what I said? I said, geez, that's kind of mild. I mean, since I made that in 2004, I've seen some awesome things. I mean, you know, I've seen like Dr. Young's back healed after he fell out of a tree 35 foot up in the air, fell all the way to the ground and crushed his back. I prayed a prayer driving down the road. Cheryl's driving the pickup. She's driving down the road. I'm praying for him over my cell phone after we left the post office, the mailbox. Coming home, and the doctor said he'll never walk again. But I use Mark 11:23 clearly says, whatever you say with your mouth when you believe it with your heart, you can have it. Isn't that something? So if Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, I can have it. Then why don't I say, Lord, give that man a supernatural healing in his back. Lord, thank you for doing a supernatural healing on Dr. Young's back. Thank you for making him perfect in the name of Jesus. And I said, it's done. Guarantee it. Because God said it. And I hung up the phone. We drive along about a mile down the road and Cheryl looks over me. She says, well, honey, what do you think about him? I said, honey, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Amen. He wanted us to come up and pray for him in Salt Lake City, Utah. We'd agreed to come. But I told her, I said, here we are. I prayed. It's already done. I said, he'll be healed before we get there. Does that sound like faith?
Amen.
It sounds better than this. Well, I'm not really sure what God will do. You know, I mean, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know what his will is. No, well, then get in his word and find out what his will is. And then pray. And that's what we did. So we get home, pull in over here at the house. Get out and unloading stuff, and my cell phone rang. I looked at the number. I didn't know who that was. I'd never seen that number. So I said, hello? He said, Thurman Scrivener? I said, yes, sir. He said, Dr. Young. He said, when you prayed, my pain went away. He said, I slid over to the edge of the bed and got up and walked. He said, I've been walking around the room carrying my 5-year-old son, running up and down the stairs. He said, I'm completely healed. He said, y'all go ahead and come up, and I'll pick you up tomorrow myself at the airplane. Now see, or Johnny Brumfield. When 2004, when I made God's power, I hadn't seen Johnny Brumfield's miracle yet. You know, Johnny Brumfield, if you've never seen his testimony, you need to get a copy of it and see this man that a tree this big around fell across his legs and crushed him. And it took him about an hour or whatever to cut him out from under that tree, took him to Shreveport, done all kinds of surgeries, and then for a month and told him he'll never walk again. And I went to 21 or 23 months later, I went down to Manny, Louisiana, and that man was sitting on the front row. I saw him there with all that steel. I walked over after I taught a couple of hours, and I said, what's wrong with you? And he told me. He said, the doctor said, I'll never work again. I said, Mark 11:23. I said, John 14:13-14. Look at John 14:13-14. Now, these are all scriptures in the Word of God, right, Miss Jackie? John 14:13-14. Now, what does that say? John 14, 13, 14.
Whatsoever
What was that first word I heard you say?
Whatsoever.
Okay, now, so if I really believe that in my heart, and here's this man sitting here. Oh, by the way, I know what would keep him from getting healed. He's black.
No.
Oh, you think God, John, God's not colorblind, huh?
No.
Some people will throw everything in the world to make you think God won't do something, right?
Yeah.
A devil will even do something like that. But I walked over there and I read that scripture, I quoted that scripture to him. And I said, sir, do you believe that? And he said, sir, I'm a Baptist. And if it's written in that book, I believe it. I said, well, is that the kind of faith God's looking for, Carrie?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so anyway, I prayed. And then after I did, I said, now, do you believe? He said, I do. I said, take that steel off and throw it away and stand up. He took that steel off, bent his legs. I reached down and grabbed him by the hand and started to pick him up. When he put weight on his legs, he said, ow! Oh, it hurts, it hurts. I said, don't go by what you feel. Go by it is written. If you go by what you feel, the devil is right there putting a severe pain into your leg. Don't go by what you feel. It is written. Did Jesus say, whatever we ask him for, he'd do it? So I jerked Johnny up right quick and stood him straight up, and he stood up and he said, I'm standing. And I could just see the unbelief beginning to take over. So you got to do something else. You can't let them stand still. So I jerked him a lick, and he took a step, and then I did that three times. And after he took three steps, I said, now then, sir, you are healed. You are on your own. And he walked around the podium three times and then ran out the back door and back to the church, screaming with his hands up, screaming, God is awesome. We need to be seeing these kind of things ourselves. You know, but you know, now you can understand why when I listened to God's power, I thought this is kind of tame stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess I need to make another one, you know, that's a little more up to date about some of the things God's doing, because Cheryl and I, like I say, every night, I mean, we work 7 days a week. We don't never take a break. I mean, it's people. Cheryl was just saying last night, she says, honey, it's amazing the number of people that are sick and afflicted. Let me tell you, we need more people, just like Carrie. Carrie's been going to church out here for a couple of years, hadn't you, Carrie? Two or three? Now, this girl, if you were not here last Sunday, you missed her testimony. Was it last Sunday you gave that? Yeah. She has a relative, her and her husband, has a relative in Florida. And this person was in hospice. In other words, we all know that's the last stage before it's over, right? When they put you in hospice, it's done. They try to give you a little morphine to keep you pain-free till you die. Anyway, her and her husband decided to buy an airplane ticket and fly all the way to Florida to pray for their loved one. Now, let me tell you what. First of all, God sees that. When you're willing to spend your money to go pray for somebody, even though it's maybe a relative, God sees you doing that. So when they got down there and they looked in and saw this relative and how bad a shape, was it a she or he?
She.
Bad a shape she was in, Carrie looked at that and she went by for a second with her eyes. This woman looks awful. What am I doing here? In other words, she kind of thinks she's going to do this. See, really in her heart, she looks at the situation, the circumstance, and she looks awful. Jesus literally speaks to Carrie because he knows where she's at. And he says, my daughter, remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and he had been dead 4 days. Said, this woman's still alive. Is that what he told you? See, she's not dead yet. But Lazarus was dead for 4 days and Jesus raised him from the dead. So if I can raise Jesus, you know, let Jesus raise Lazarus after he'd been dead 4 days, surely you can pray the prayer of faith over her and she's still alive, I can raise her up. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So you and your husband prayed the prayer of faith for your loved one.
Yeah.
And then you got on an airplane and came home. Hey. I'm telling you, we need some more prayer warriors like this.
Yeah.
You need to become a prayer warrior like Carrie.
Yes.
I mean, we all need to be seeing these kind of things, right, Carrie?
Yes.
I mean, if Cheryl, if God's using me and Cheryl, he's using Mike and Gracie, Scott and Ken, I could go on and on and on, people all over this building that are actually being used by God to do such great and awesome things. But if you want to get in on it, just learn a few scriptures. Start. You learn this principle. Remit people's sins. Number one, make sure that you confess their sin, repent of their sins for them, whatever. If they can talk, get them to do that themselves. Ask them, what do you think might have put you in this place? What sin did you think? Now, see, the curse without a cause can't come upon you. So if you don't do something that's sin, it can't come upon you. I mean, this is a hard thing for most people to swallow, but it's a fact. You know, I think of the number of people that we see healed. We get testimonies back every night when we sat down with that computer now. Every day, we got praise reports coming back in, and we got prayer requests going out. We remit people's sin, and this is the principle that we go by. If we get them to confess their own sin. Because they need to know what sin they committed that did what it did, so they won't do it again.
Amen.
Is that right?
Right.
You don't want people to be prayed for and not know what causes it. In other words, if you don't know that sin causes your problem, and you've been sinning, in fact, we had a great praise report this week. This is a young man from Alaska. Somebody give him one of my CDs. And he stuck it in his truck or whatever, and he started listening to it. And he went home and told his live-in girlfriend that he wasn't going to hell. He said, I just got through listening to a pastor that says if I live in this state and if I die in this state, I'm going to hell. And he said, I ain't going to hell for nobody. There ain't nothing in this world good enough to go to hell for, is that right? Ain't no girl, no boy, no nothing. I don't care. There ain't no sex in the world good enough to spend eternity in hell for. I don't care if you had it 100 years. It still ain't going to be worth that. You know, I'm telling you, but people don't understand. But God said in his word that if we live like this and do this, he told us this in several places, that if we live in sin, those adulterers and fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he was talking to Christians. So if he's talking to Christians, you don't want to be one of those Christians that winds up in hell, do you? So anyway, he said, I ain't going there. He said, you know, I'm moving out. You know, either we're going to get married or ain't going to be no more relationship between us at all. I am not going to hell for this. No way. And then he called our ministry and told Jeff about it. Isn't that something? In other words, all we did was tell him what the scripture says. And he listened to it. And then he decided to change. I wonder how many people are living in sin today. You know, and if you don't believe that these bodies that we live in are slowly but surely going away. Yesterday we had a family reunion. And I couldn't believe how old some of them folks had got. Of course, I'm still a youngster. See, I'm spry, getting there. Oh, Lord, forgive me for lying. I mean, you know, when I looked at us, I mean, I just think this cycle that God gives us. Here's my little nieces and nephews and all this over there. And some of these young girls, you know, that are 20, 21, 22, 23. And they got babies that are on now 6 months old to a year old. And I see all this little herd of little bitty critters running around on the floor, running, and somebody wants to take your picture, and the little guy comes running right between your legs, you know. And I thought, just a few years ago, I was one of those little critters. And now that I'm on the other end. You know, and I was telling one of my cousins or whatever, we were talking about that, and her husband, they're getting up there. I think he's 75 now, so she's about 73 or something like that, 74. And I said, yeah, the other day, Cheryl was in there in the bathroom. She was getting ready to go do something, go somewhere. I was in there with her, and she held her arm up, and she said, "Honey, would you look at this?" And I said, "It's your arm. What's wrong with your arm?" She said, "No, look, the skin. Look how loose the skin is." I said, "Honey, I still love you with the loose skin." "Doesn't make any difference. You got loose skin." She said, "It's terrible." Now then, let me tell you. When Solomon said it's all vanity, Miss Jackie, is it vanity?
It is.
But you girls like to be tight-skinned and look beautiful, right? Yeah, I know Cheryl does everything she can to be beautiful, but and she does a good job. I guess I'll have to be like Andrew. Other day, Andrew, he was talking, he said, and some of y'all heard me say, you know, that you girls have to put a coat of paint on the barn once in a while. And he said, it might not be a bad idea if some of those girls put two coats of paint on the barn. Oh, my goodness gracious. What is the problem with all of us? We're all wearing out with age for the simple reason that God said in His Word that you're only going to live 70 or 80 years. And I don't care what you do. I go back and look at King David, and I look at King David, and King David, a man after God's own heart, died at 70 years of age. He died at 70. And I think of the men that died. Well, Hezekiah. Hezekiah died at 55. Now, is that something? 55. We try to do everything we can to live long, but if you don't get in this book and you don't learn to do what God told you to do and you don't learn how to stand on His promises, your chances are you will not make it as a Christian. Either that or for some reason He'll take you home early. Because just like Dave read Psalm 91 a while ago, did He promise to satisfy us with a long life?
Yes.
Yeah. What if you don't know that? What if you don't know Psalm 91? I wish I could remember what city that was here in the state of Texas in World War II. But whenever the boys went to war, all the people in the city, we used to be a Christian country, and we're still, I believe, a Christian country, but not like we used to be. I remember this little town, which I can't think of the name of it. It's like mine. The little town I was raised up in, 1,500 people. On Sunday, people went to church. It's unfortunate that today people don't stay married to the same mate. They don't even plan to do that. When I went to high school, actually there was only 25 people in my senior class. But when I graduated from high school with 25 seniors, all 25 of them had the same mother and daddy they had when we started school. And there was no divorces, none whatsoever. Today, we got so many divorces, people don't even try. Forgive somebody 490 times, forgive it. Forget it. You do something to your mate, I'm out of here. It's just upset them one time, they run off. A bunch of wimps, we really are a bunch of wimps. You need to learn to get along with everybody. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, World War II guy, Psalm 91, yeah. Okay. Somebody went down there and put every one of those boys' picture. There was 40 or 50 men from that little town that went to war. They put every one of those picture behind glass at the county courthouse. And somebody every day came down there and quoted Psalm 91. It was right there in several places for you to see. So if you didn't know it, all you had to do is read it. But somebody would come down there and read or quoted Psalm 91 every day during World War II till the war was over. And out of those 40 or 50 men that went to war that they read that over, when they come home, every man came home and not one man even had a scratch.
Amen.
Not a scratch. Now, if that Psalm 91 will work for those boys back then, will it still work for us today? Yes, it will. If you may remember, I'm sure there was many other churches doing this besides ours. But before the Republican convention, they were talking about bringing in people. They was going to have them kill white people. Y'all remember that? This group was going to try to hire these people and paying $15 an hour and all to bring them in and just to stir up chaos. Did we pray against that on Sunday?
Yes.
Yes, we did. We prayed against that. We prayed confusion on the enemy and everything else. And they had a fantastic convention. There was nobody coming and created nothing, no problems. see, the church is the most powerful entity on earth. If we know it. I mean, just think. When you think about that little story of Miss Carrie, her and her husband going all the way to Florida and praying over a relative, and then in a couple of days and a week later, that relative is still out of hospice, out of the hospital and at home, something happened there. You reckon all of it was just a coincidence or what? You don't think so?
No way.
The doctors sure don't believe it anyway, do they, Carrie? You know, we pray and just think. I'd like to challenge every one of us this week to find you somebody that needs help. You know, and if you really can't find nobody to pray over and you want to pray over somebody, call out there. I think I left 14 unprayed prayer requests on Sharon's door when we closed down Friday. I think there was still 14. You know, if you really want to do something for Jesus, call out here and let us give you a number and a name, and then you call that person and you pray for that person or email that person, whatever, and start doing something for Jesus. You know, when you start emailing things and you start finding out how to do this and you start praying for people, and then in a day or two or three, did it boost your faith just a little when y'all got home and your relative called and said you're out of the hospital?
Yes.
You think, wow, this stuff really works, huh? So now then you're saying, Lord, give me another one. Okay, now don't say that unless you're ready. I told y'all this story about the guy out in Washington when I went out to, I think it was Seattle or wherever it was, somewhere out there looking at some buildings years ago when the company I worked for. And so on Sunday, I went out on Saturday because it had to be the early Sunday morning, and I didn't know where, Monday morning, so I didn't know where I was going. So I just went out and rented me a car and a hotel. So Sunday morning, I thought I'll go to church. So I get out in my car and I start driving down the street, and all of a sudden there's a big church. I said, okay, go in there. So I just pulled in, went in there and met two or three or four people, nice church. It seemed like a Pentecostal church. And when the pastor come up, he was a nice young man. And he come up there and he says, you know, when I went to seminary, they didn't teach me about demons. But he said, I got to studying about demons. I wanted to know about demons. And so he said, the church I went to and the seminary I went to, they didn't teach me. So he said, I'm studying about these demons. And he said, more I study, the more I get and the more I'm ready. I said, okay, Lord. One day I said, okay, God, I've got this. I understand demons. Send me a demon. Now, you better be ready. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong. Do you think he's listening?
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes, he's listening, I guarantee. So this pastor, this is the only thing I remember about his sermon that day. It had about a two-hour service, but this is the only thing I remember. But, boy, I remember this well. He said that afternoon after I'd made that statement to the Lord that send me a demon, he said, I'm walking home because I only live four or five blocks from the church. He said, I'm going along there. And all of a sudden, he said, beautiful day, gorgeous day. Said all of a sudden I hear a scream, a blood-curdling scream. And said, I look back over here and there's a set of apartments over there. And said, an old white-headed woman, hair everywhere, with a great big butcher knife in her hands, running straight at me, screaming, I'm going to kill you. He said, man, I started digging out, running to the house. He said, for the next three blocks, my shirt tail didn't even hit my backside. I'm going so fast. He said, I get up there about three blocks, and I thought, I begin to look back, and I don't see nothing. And I stopped and looked back, and I said, wow, wonder where she went. And the Lord says, I thought you were ready. So he sent that demon, didn't he? I thought you were ready. So don't make a stupid statement like that unless you're really ready. If you're really ready, you don't have to worry about it. I mean, just like that time David, me and Cheryl was out there in New Mexico, that we cast those demons out of that woman all day long for 7.5 hours. I could not get them last two demons out. And I thought I had quite a bit of demonology in me. I thought I knew quite a bit. But I couldn't get them last two out. We got 2,821 of them out. That's how many that woman had. When I asked her, I said, how many demons is in you? that she spoke right out of her mouth, said there's 2,823 demons in me. And so I said, well, you're going to come out. And when I did, I said, now come out in the name of Jesus. I mean, she'd done the most wild thing I've ever seen in my life and then spoke to me and says, we're not coming out because we have legal right to be here. I thought that was a lie, but I found out it was true. She had a sin in her life, and I couldn't get those demons out. We fought that battle for 7.5 hours, and them last two would not come out. Finally, I looked over the clock, and I said, Lord, I said, in 1 hour, I've got to speak at a church tonight. And I said, Lord, when's this going to be over? And he spoke something in my spirit right then, just as solid as a rock that I'll never forget. He said, son, I fulfilled everything and done everything on the cross. It's all done. You have been given all power and all authority over the spirit world, just like I said in my word. So when you believe it's done, when you believe it's done, that's when it'll be done. But it's already done. But you got to believe. Wow. I mean, I jumped back up on that woman. I mean, we're in mine and Cheryl's bed in our bedroom at that hotel. Dave's holding that poor woman's feet down because she's trying to kick me. Cheryl's got a pillow up under her side there where she's throwing up a foam junk that comes out of her every once in a while. So I just pounced up on that woman, held her down on that bed, and I screamed like I've never screamed. I said, you demons of hell. I said, I know we have remitted her sins. Her sins are taken care of. And I said, you're coming out of her and you're not going to put up, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. This is the last time I'm going to speak to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, every one of you, to come out of her and never enter her again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And I jumped up off her, looked back down at that woman, and I said, woman, I guarantee you're delivered in the name of Jesus. And she opened her eyes and looked up at Cheryl and said, who are you? And Cheryl's been right there all afternoon for hours. Then she looks at me. She said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm just a pastor that was getting you set free and healed. She looked down and she's at Dave. He's holding her feet. And she said, what are you doing holding my feet? And they've been holding them all afternoon. She didn't remember a thing, not a thing. But I will have to say, that soaked in on me pretty quick. It took a couple of months to soak in on Dave. But a couple of months later, Dave finally got that revelation, just like I did. When God says it's already done, it's done. You ask Dave now, when he cast a demon out, what does he expect to happen? He expects that beast to go. So when he speaks in faith, then he can say also, just like I've learned to say, I command you to come out. Now then you're delivered. I guarantee it. And guess what happens? They get delivered. They get delivered. Isn't that amazing? You have to believe with no doubt in your heart. We need men and women today that has this knowledge in them that they're not afraid of the devil. I mean, you know, why be afraid of the beast if Jesus defeated him and gave you all power and all authority over him? You know, so, I mean, we go by what we see too much. We go by these things. You know, if we had when those 5 men got killed here in Dallas just recently, all we needed was one man, if we had him. But obviously we didn't have him. But all we needed was one man down there that night when those guys got shot to go over there and lay hands on them men and raise them from the dead. Did you know that's available to us?
Yes.
That is available. But we just can't find nobody can do it. I remember the first man, only man I've ever seen Jesus raise from the dead with me. I was asleep in the middle of the night, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, when a man had a massive heart attack and died. And then the paramedic, which was his son-in-law, called me about 1:30, 2 o'clock, whatever it was, and told me, Thurman, we've lost him. And I said, well, let's pray. Now, this young man and the man that I'm telling you about, they were all Church of Christ. Now, only one church worse than that, and that's the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? I mean, we're all dead. We don't believe anything. We really don't. But anyway, whenever he said, we've lost him, he's been dead about 30 minutes. I said, well, let's pray. He said, Thurman, it's too late to pray. He's dead. How long did they say that Lazarus was dead? So that's not a problem with God, is it? It's not a problem at all. It is a problem with us. Here's the problem right here. This is the problem. So anyway, if you look at the circumstances and the man's been dead with no pulse for 30 minutes, well, it's over. I mean, you know, send him to the morgue. My goodness gracious, you have an ambulance come pick him up or something. But ain't no use to say nothing over him because even God couldn't raise him from the dead. We know that ain't true, don't we? After all, he hadn't been dead but 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And, you know, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Jesus spoke to him, didn't he? That ought to be something for us to work on. So anyway, whenever I told him it's never too late to pray, he said, no, Thurman, it's too late to pray. So I prayed. Now, I realized that coming out of this dead sleep, God was doing something in me that I didn't know what he was doing, but he had to be doing it all because I'm asleep. But I wake up and then I pray and I rebuke the spirit of death. Something like this. I said, Satan, I rebuke you, that spirit of death. I command that spirit of death to come out of him and go to the abyss and never enter him again. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put the spirit of life back in him. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. And he screamed on the other end and said, my God, I got a pulse. I got a pulse. He's breathing. Well, what did Jesus tell us to do? Go out and raise the dead? That's what he said. It's unfortunate that none of us seem to can get it. That's the only one I've ever seen done. So anyway, he told him, said, I'm going to take him down to the hospital in Irving. I said, okay, I'm going to get up and come down there. And so I got up, put my clothes on, and I drove to Irving to the hospital. When I went in down there, I said, Doc, it's about 5 o'clock in the morning when I got there. I said, Doc, where's so-and-so? He said, he's right down in room 13. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, he'd have been better off if he'd have stayed dead. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the paramedic said he was dead for 30 minutes. No pulse, nothing. Flatline for 30 minutes. So he said, he'll be a vegetable. And so he would have been better off if he'd have just went ahead and died. I said, Doc, do you see those hands? And he looked at me and he said, well, yes. I said, Jesus said, now see, you get in trouble when you start quoting Jesus. Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He didn't say they'd be a vegetable, did he? See, this separates the men from the boys. I mean, to tell you, in most of my life, I've been one of the boys. I've not been a man about none of this. I've been a boy. I think it's time, Lord, you do something and start raising us up and making more men out of us and not so many boys. Lord, anyway, I went in, and after when I said, the Lord said for me to lay hands on them and they'll let them recover, that doctor just looked over at me and rolled his eyes like this, oh, and he walked off. I don't blame, if I'd have been a doctor back in those days, I'd have probably done the same thing. Some crazy guy's coming in here, well, the man lived. He recovered completely, and he's still alive today. That's been 20 or 25 years ago, and that guy's still alive and well today. And in fact, the other day I was over in Denton in the tax office getting some license plates from one of my trucks, and there he stood in the line. I got to talk to him. So I thought, wow. So when we don't think we can do this kind of stuff, in fact, God gave me a second chance. I'll never forget this either. A good friend of mine from Comanche, Texas. They called me on a Friday afternoon. This was probably 6 months, a few months anyway, after this man was raised from the dead. Right here. And he called me from Comanche. His wife actually called me from Comanche and told me, said, Thurman, his name was Jack. He says, Jack got a bad diagnosis from the doctor today. He said that he has a very rapid growing cancer and he only has about 3 months left to live. Now, I got faith for these kind of deals. I said, we'll come down there Monday. I'll call work and tell them I'm going to be out of work for Monday. we're going to drive down there Monday. And I said, I'm going to get this man healed. He'd been a good friend of mine for years. So we got up early Monday morning. We drove to Comanche, got there about 10 o'clock, about a 2.5-3 hour drive from our house. Got there, and when I got there, there was 4, 5, 6 cars in front of his house. I thought, boy, he must have got a lot of something wrong here. People, too many people visiting. 10 o'clock in the morning, people don't usually come to see that many people at 10 o'clock in the morning unless something happened. So I walked up and walked in the front door, and she said, Thurman, you're too late. He just passed away. She said, just about a half hour, 45 minutes ago, he died. I walked in there. The undertaker was sitting there in the bedroom. He's laying on the bed. I walked over and put my hands on him, and I should have never done that. When I put my hands on him, he's hard, cold, stone dead. Now, at that point, I completely forgot who I was. All of a sudden, I became Thurman Scribner without any power in me or nothing. I looked at that man laying there, and I thought, Lord, help me to say what I need to say. Because just a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I spoke over a man that had been dead for 30 minutes, and he came back to life. And I can't even command this man to be raised from the dead. And I sat there for 30 minutes or an hour. Never could say a thing. I finally just got up and said, you wimp, you might as well just go to the house. That's what I did. Why? Why does it work like that? I believe with all my heart God was giving me another test. If I had done like Smith Wigglesworth did, when they brought him into a room where a woman, and she had died, and she had been dead for several hours, when he come in and he looked at her and he reached down and got this woman and he picked her up and slammed her against the wall and said, live in the name of Jesus Christ. Turned her loose, just fell down on the floor. He reached down there, get her again, picks her up, and after about the third time of slamming her against the wall, commanding her to live in Jesus' name, everybody at the place knew Smith Wigglesworth was an idiot. He was crazy. They all knew it. Is that what you'd think? Sure. He reached down and gets her again. He said, woman, this is the last time, but you're going to live. And he slammed her against the wall. Got her right by the arms, slammed her against the wall and said, I command you to live in the name of Jesus Christ. And she opened her eyes and that woman was alive. We need more men like Smith Wigglesworth, don't we? But you notice it wasn't easy. You know, we want it to be easy. Lord, I'll do this for you, but you're going to have to make it real easy. Well, let me tell you what, you ain't never going to see anything. You're going to have to learn to do things in bold faith. Just like Paula. Paula had to stand in bold faith for several weeks, months. Actually, months. You were sick for 20 years.
Yes.
But when you started believing God for healing, it didn't happen the first time you believed it, did it?
No.
You kept staying with it and staying with it and staying with it and staying with it. And finally, you started getting better and better and better. And today, you're sitting there totally well. And, yeah. Somebody could say, well, she got healed. Yeah, but it didn't happen like this. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Now you're completely healed. It didn't happen like that, did it?
No, sir.
It was a fight.
Yes.
Yeah. You see what I mean? Sometimes your healing can be real simple. Sometimes you can touch somebody, and we all love that. We all love it whenever somebody speaks a word over us or touches us and people get healed. We all like that, don't we?
Yes, amen.
But how many times did God promise to heal us?
Every time.
Every time. So why do we give up? You know, I mean, Miss Paul, I keep coming back to her here. Just think, her husband, you know how sick she was for 20 years, don't you, brother? 12, you know for sure.
12, yeah.
12 years?
Yes, sir, 12 years.
12 years. But after she got healed... She's just doing, what a difference, huh?
Yeah, she's got more energy than I've ever seen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But it didn't come with, what I'm trying to say, though, Paula, it didn't come without a fight. It was a fight. You had to fight the good fight of faith, did you not? Yes. And then there, here she is to testify to tell you how good she feels. Her husband's telling her she's never had such faith and such energy as she's got now. But you see what happens to us. Not only do we not have the energy and the faith to raise people from the dead, most of us, if somebody gets sick, we come up to them and say, "Now, I'm going to pray for you." "That's all right. I don't believe I want you to pray for me, Thurman. I'll just go back here and sit in the back. You go ahead and do whatever you're going to." Now, see, some people do me like that. In fact, this girl did me like that. This girl didn't even want to come up for prayer. She would not come up for prayer. The day I prayed for everybody else, and this merciful God that we serve healed her anyway that day. Amen. She got healed without even having to come up to be prayed for. Don't you love it? All these years later, and she's got all the energy she needs too, doesn't she, Scott? But before that, when she was down in her back all the time, it was hard for her to help around the place because she was hurt so bad. But once God healed her, now then she's healed, and Kim don't have any back trouble at all, no more. Do you really think maybe you might love Jesus a little better?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It'd be awesome, Kim. Just think of the wonderful things that we've seen God do around here. Is he an awesome God, Bill? He's out of this world, is he not? Yeah, he's here. He's doing everything. So who is the problem? Right here. The problem is right here. I don't have the faith. You don't have the faith. Because Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, nothing shall be impossible with you. Now, if he said that, it's got to be true, right? If Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, because the disciples come up to him and said, "Lord, why could we not heal this boy?" He said, "Because of your unbelief. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move. And if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you." That's written in God's word. Do you know that if somebody comes up to you and asks you, "Do you believe that you can pray for somebody and they'd be healed?" Almost everybody in the church says, "Well, if it's God's will, I could do it. I can pray, but if it's God's will, they'll get well."
It's always his will.
Do what, Kim?
It's always his will.
Oh, I know, yes, but see, people don't know that, do they? When you know always it's his will to heal, then you can stand on his promises and keep going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and y'all can pray at first. Just like that one lady that other night that said that her mother had all these issues with the stroke and all that stuff. When we kept, every time she would call us or email us, we would answer with scripture, and then we'd come back and say, "Now it is done." She said, "You have no idea how that 'it is done' impacted me." But said, every time y'all prayed a prayer by email, you always said, "It is done." So she said, "I stood with those promises. It is done. My mother's healed." And guess what happened? Her mother got healed. We need to learn how to be overcomers, don't we, Andy? We need to be overcomers. I mean, we need to be more than an overcomer. Because Paul said we already are. Is that right? We're already more than an overcomer. We are, wow. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here that I'm going to go to. You know that scripture, John 14:13. Is that just a pretty awesome scripture? "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." If we could just get a hold of this, if we could just believe this, we could get anything done. Anything. I think, I'll give you an example of how faith really does work. I remember the last time I had a problem with my left leg. I got my left leg burned real bad years ago. In the period of time that Cheryl and I have been married, I guess 4, 5, or 6 times at least, I don't know how many times, but several times, that leg has flared up. And when it flares up, it starts tingling. And when I pull my britches leg up and look at my leg from my knee down to my ankle, it's solid blood red. That's enough to excite almost anybody. Well, it would definitely excite Cheryl, and maybe even me a little bit, but I thought, okay, Lord, I know you're going to heal me. I know it's a done deal. But anyway, she would put me down in the bed and make me lay down, elevate my feet about 6 inches with a pillow or whatever, and she would anoint me with oil, and then she'd pray the prayer of faith, and I'm telling you, that girl, she can pray the prayer of faith. I mean, she comes down on them demons. She's commanding them out. I mean, she's stripping demons out the windows and all kinds of stuff, and she's praying. And then when she gets through praying, she said, "Now, Lord, thank you for healing my husband. It's done in Jesus' name. Now then, honey, you stay in that bed and don't move till I tell you to get out." So anyway, I'd say, "Well, I think I'm going to get up and go do something." "No, don't you dare. You might break loose that blood clot, and it might go to your heart or your brain and kill you." Is that right, honey? That's what she said, "I'm going to be okay." She said, "No, I love you, and I don't want to lose you. Now, you're going to stay there till that all this blood clot goes away." Okay, so I'd lay there for 2 or 3 or 4 days, and I'd be okay, and my leg would get normal again, and I'd go back to work. And then 6 months or a year later, this thing would pop up again. One day, I woke up one morning, my leg was tingling like crazy. I pulled over to the side of the bed and turned the light on, and I raised my leg up to look at it, and man, was it blood red. Cheryl woke up and she said, "Something wrong?" I said, "Yeah, I've got that problem with my leg again." So she jumped up. Boy, I'm telling you, this girl, when she needs to pray, she can get out of bed. I mean, she jumps up, she comes running over there, she gets her a bottle of oil, she anointed me with oil, she prayed, done everything, rebuked the devil, commanded those things to go away, everything. And then she said, "Now get in that bed and lay down and take it easy till it goes away." I said, "Honey, I think that I've been doing exactly what you said every time." And I said, "I never get healed." I said, "It keeps coming back." So I said, "I think what this is God's testing me to see when I'm going to really believe him." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, sick people stay in bed. Well people go to work." She said, "What are you trying to tell me you're going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm building a building today. I got iron to put on, and it's about 100 degrees this afternoon at 3 o'clock, so I need to be out there in that high temperature working so I can stay in good shape." So anyway, she said, no, you can't go to work. I said, "Oh, yes, I am." I said, if you prayed for me and I believe God according to your prayer, I'm healed. Is that right, Paula?
Yes.
I'm healed. I don't go by what I see, because if I do, that means I stay in bed, right? Yeah, so I don't do that. So I said, "I'm going to work." She said, "But honey," I said, no. Mm-mm. I said, "Just, woman, just get out of my way." You know, I said, I know you love me. Don't want me to die. But I said, "I ain't going to die. But I said, I believe this is a test. And I believe that this is what God's doing. And he's waiting for me to finally believe him and go to work and forget about it." She said, "Honey, are you sure?" I said, "Yes, I believe it's a test. So just let me do my thing. I'm going to be okay." I said, "There ain't nothing can take me out for my time. You know, God ain't going to take me out until he's through with me, right?"
"That's
right." "Sure, he's doing something." So I get up and I put my clothes on and I go to work and everything. And that afternoon, about 6, 7 o'clock, I come back in and she said, "Well, how's your leg?" I said, "Well, it's still hanging down there, so I guess it's okay." I said, I don't feel any pain or anything. It must be okay." She said, "Can I look at it?" I said, "Yes." So she takes me over and sets me down on the bed, and she pulls my britches leg up, and she looks at it, and she said, "It's perfect. There's not a single thing wrong with your leg at all. It's perfect." I said, "Well, I believe today I passed my test." Let me tell you, that's been, 3 or 4 years ago? I ain't had another occurrence of it at all. God was waiting for me to see when I was going to believe. Now, you think he'll do you like that? Oh, yeah, he will definitely put you to the test. In fact, you even had a little encounter after your healing that you could have thought that you were going to lose it there for a little while, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you didn't go there.
No,
I'm healed. The word says I'm healed. Praise God, I'm healed. And y'all stood together on that, right? Amen. See, if you don't stand together, if you don't agree, that's why he said if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, I will do it for you. Anything. What does anything include, Franz?
Everything.
Wow. For those of you who don't know, this young gentleman up here in the front row just had a birthday yesterday. He's 86, is that right? 86, praise the Lord. Wow. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you and praise you for the beauty of your word with all these wonderful, awesome promises that belong to us. And Lord, that when we pray, we need to pray in faith, and before we pray, we need to get rid of sin. So Lord, show people their sins. Keep them out of sin. So like I've heard Dave and Jeff both talk about this many times, I believe, just like they do, the best thing that God can do is for us never to get sick. Not to have to heal us, but to never get sick. So if we walk in obedience to your word, you've told us over and over and over in your word that if we walk in obedience to your word and do what you say, walk in love, you will take all sickness and all disease away from us and we will have none. So Lord, that's where I want to live. I want to have no sickness and no disease. I want to live to be an old, healthy man and just to be able to do all things because you're my God and I know that'll bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I thank you for all the people you've healed, all the miracles you've done. And Lord, I thank you that in the next 5 or 10 years that we'll see you do even greater miracles, greater works than these than you've already done. Lord, you have certainly done some wonderful things, but we know you're going to do greater things. Lord, use all of us in this little church in a mighty way to bring glory and honor to your name. Only you are worthy, Lord. Nobody else is worthy to receive this but you. And Lord, we thank you for using us to pray the prayer of faith for your people and to see you do the great and mighty things that you do. Father, bless us this week as we go forth. May we really be ready to share the gospel with people, to pray the gospel message with people, to get people saved, healed, and delivered. Lord, we want everybody to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Then we want everybody to be delivered and healed. So Lord, lead us in the paths of righteousness that we will be able to do those things for your kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.